If we could turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14. You remember as we had left off a couple of weeks ago in chapter 13, we saw that the enemy would oftentimes try and keep us from the word and, you know, the sword of the word, and to try and pull away the ability to have that particular type of weaponry. So the significance of always being focused and staying close to the word of God, what a blessing that is for us. And as they get kind of prepared for some battle, you remember in verse 23, if you go to chapter 13, verse 23, and the garrison of the Philistines went out to the pass of Michmash. So this is where they're kind of encamped up in this pass area. And now in verse 1 of chapter 14, it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he did not tell his father. So he's getting ready to go over there, but he doesn't tell his dad what he's doing, you know, the king, Saul. And there's reasons. You know, there was issues. Obviously, he saw what was happening with Saul, his dad. How his dad kind of was blowing the trumpet, acting like he was the one that was victorious and all that stuff. And he kind of saw this something happening. His dad really wasn't in a position to lead in that way into the battle. And, you know, I think Jonathan was just aware of that. And Jonathan, as we go on into our story later, we find out, remember how close David and Jonathan became. They were bros, you know, they were buddies. They were friends, close friends, and so you can kind of see the kind of the knitted hearts that were there between David and Jonathan, very like-minded kind of guys, and so you kind of see that happening. And here in this place, Jonathan was just clearly aware that his dad Saul, as we find in verse 2, was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under the pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. So just basically the immediate, he's just kind of kicking back, hanging out. Basically, he was aware his dad was just not engaged, really, in what was happening. And Jonathan, you know, decides he's going to go out. He gets his armor bearer, and he talks to him, and he didn't tell his dad what he's doing, but he's going to go out and kind of check things out. These brothers, the brother of Ichabod, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, I can't pronounce those other two names, so you can read those. Ahitub, you know, I don't know if he had a hot tub or a hit tub, but somehow. The Lord's priest in Shiloh was wearing the ephod. And you remember why they wore the ephod? You remember what the significance of the ephod was? The ephod was where they would, you know, kind of do, they'd get the Urim and the Thummim out, and they would, you know, kind of determine the will of God, you know, through wearing the ephod and the Urim and the Thummim, and they which is really the kind of dividing of lights, and, you know, as the light would come. And we don't really know that much about how it worked exactly, but that was one of the ways that they would determine the will of God. But the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Senna. Now, to us, I don't know. You know, we don't walk around probably naming the rocks in our yard or anything, but, you know, for them, these are maybe significant monuments that they would look at and know what they were. But it's interesting. Bozez is like, means like shining, or literally a glistening. So this is one that stands out. The next one is thorny. Senna means thorny. So it's like this one that's maybe, I don't know, maybe it was more jagged than the other or whatever, but it's interesting thought process. They're coming up to engage in a battle. They're going to engage in a war situation. He's going up to check it out. There's just him and his armor bearer that are going up to check this out. And isn't it just like, and it's an interesting thought to think through, that the wonderful possibilities that could possibly take place in this situation as we enter out or we venture out. You know, there's oftentimes we see, this really speaks to me about ventures of faith. And the significance of this in your life personally, as a believer, in ministry endeavors, in body life as a ministry, the endeavors, the things that we engage in are not always easy. Sometimes it's very, very difficult. I know for myself, our family, for our fellowship in many ways, it's been a very difficult year and a half or so. As we launched out, we by faith decided to step out and do something to try and touch our community with the Word of God. And I assure you that Satan is not pleased with that kind of thing. You know, last night, a couple of the guys went over to set up our tent for the radio station because a gal had called a month or so ago, and we had met some of this group at one of the concerts we were at out in Independence. So this gal had called into the office because she'd seen that we were kind of talking about, you know, helping out in relief efforts in Japan and stuff. And they do this capture the flag thing you've seen kind of in our bulletin, this capture the flag. This isn't just some, oh, wow, let's go play capture the flag or something, and we're just going to do some lame event thing. Let me tell you the heart behind this, because this is touching. This grips me really powerfully. This girl calls the office and says, hey, this is our campus ministry. She goes to Truman High School, a secular large high school over in Independence. She said, our little campus ministry would like to, we do this event at the end of every year, and we try and figure what we could do because it's kind of a little fundraiser thing, and we want to just put the monies this year toward relief for the Japanese over there. That's what God's put on our heart. And so is it all right if we partner with you guys? So yeah, absolutely, I think that's just so wonderful. But they go over there, and we're involved then touching these kids on a secular campus with a Christian station, handing out Bible study CDs that are plentiful here. But you got to understand, this doesn't go on in every church. Every church isn't blessed with the simple teaching of the Word of God. I don't know why they don't. I don't get that. But they just do some little poem, and they talk about something, and everybody brings their little journal book to write some niceness to themselves that they learned or something, which I think is a waste of time. And I'm offending people by saying that, and I know that. But I really think it's a waste of time. I think this is what is going to sustain you when the stuff really hits the fan and it gets difficult. Because that's what he's talking about, venturing out into the deep and doing something difficult. We stepped out by faith as a body of believers. God put it on my heart, and we agree. We stepped out by faith to do something that's not normal. There's not one church nearby or around us that has a radio station, that has a voice into the community like what God's given you. And half the time, I don't even know if we really get what God's entrusted us with. But that's what God's given us. Oh, it doesn't come in. It's a little scratchy. I don't know about all that. It's not perfect everywhere. But about 2.2 million people have the access to it. That's a lot of people, potentially, that we get to touch. I mean, that's exciting to me. God said, hey, here's an opportunity. But we don't have anything. Well, that's okay. I can do it. Okay. I'll run with God on anything. You know, this is what he's talking about. Sometimes it's this glistening possibility or opportunity that's there. But it's always true that there's some jagged spots in it too. It's not always easy. You will find both in any venture that's worth getting into. And if it's not bigger than you, I don't think it's worth getting into. I love this. I love this whole story so much. Because it's a real true testament. You guys, yeah, we could sit back and we could have a few thousand more bucks in the bank and we could be sitting and feeling a little more comfortable about anything. So what? And done nothing? While our city perishes without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? You tell me what it was worth to have a gal call us the other day and say, I just pulled off the road and I've given my life to Jesus Christ. What was that worth? Was that worth $500,000? Was it worth $1,000? Was it worth $5? Was it worth $10 million? What's that soul worth? Jesus Christ came and gave everything for you and for me and for our city, for our nation, for the world that surrounds us. Jesus Christ gave everything, his own life, blood, himself, that you and I might have that life. And I just look at it and I go, man, I'm in, Lord. I'm in. Deal me in. I want to see, that is thrilling to me. That's what it's all about, being a Christian and sharing the, it's not just about me having salvation. I'm on my face every day. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me When we sing that song, I can barely keep my eyes from just welling up and looping it. But I know I've got to share and teach, so I can't go into my own little world and loop it. But, you know, just with the stuff I've seen and just, you know, again and again and even recently, your house and my house could be, this could happen to us. You know, I go to the other side of the world and it happens. I go, you know, down the street it happens. I go to the Gulf, it happens. I go, you know, things happen everywhere. And it's so wonderful that God's given us an opportunity right now to get a voice into our city, to take a venture of faith together. And I look at that opportunity last night. Brothers and sisters, there's no chance in anything that we would ever have an invite to have anything to do with anything at Truman High School except for a vehicle like that God's given us. See, that's what that is to me. It's a vehicle by which we can get in places that we would never have audience to, that we'd never have opportunity to interact with. And what about the kids' lives that now they've grabbed some discs and they're, you know what, they want to be a part of going to events with us and just helping out. I know they don't come here to church. I know that. But they're a part of the body of Christ. And what's going on, what we've all invested in is ministering to them. They love the station. They love the music. They love the teaching. They're getting blessed. I'm just saying, to me, I wanted to give it something, what we're talking about, a personal impact on how I see this stuff scripturally this way. In my mind, we're living this. That is exciting. I want to live the Word of God. What a thrilling experience. I don't want to just wake up and, wow, great, I got salvation. I'm just going to be a bump on a pickle like the rest of every other bump on the pickle around, you know? I want to have something. Your life is counting for something. Your life as a believer is counting for something. We're not some big, massive group. We don't even have a building of our own, and God's given us that. And someone was telling us recently, a promoter called in and was talking to us about a project, and they're saying, well, that seems weird. Why would why would you have a radio station? You don't have a building and stuff, like we're idiots or something, you know? And that may be the case. I don't know, you know? But perchance, God might be in it. And the question went back and said, well, how many churches around town do you know that have a station? I don't care if we ever have a rock climbing wall. You see what I mean? I just don't. I don't care if we have the greatest, you know, but man, I do care about getting the gospel out. And I want you guys to be blessed. I want us to have a great facility one day. I want all that for you. Myself, I'm cool with the field. I'd go pitch a tent and meet in the field. I don't care. Really, I just don't. But for everybody and for the sake of, I'm not interested. It's just I'm more interested in what's going to matter for eternity. Because you see, the structure you build here is ultimately going to burn in fervent heat. That's a fact, scripturally. It's not that it's not good. I would desire that for us also. So I want to be clear on that. We are wanting, there's not a week that goes by, very few days go by that we are not in pursuit of looking for stuff. You need to know that. We're looking all the time. You say, well, looking with what? You don't have it. I know, well, that's nothing, so what's new? You know? My dad owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Our dad owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible says. My dad knows, your dad knows, exactly where every vein of gold ore is in this earth, and silver and everything else. Your dad, our dad, my dad, can do whatever he wants, however he wants. You know, I just hope tonight that by just this little bit of time we spend together in the Word, that we would grasp that simple reality. And that God oftentimes does things differently. It's not the way systematically we think, you know? But it's just, he's God. And he does it the way he wants to do it. And he wants to do it in such a way that it brings him honor and brings him glory. So they get up there. It's not always easy. Man, there's been a lot of difficulties the last 18 months on a lot of different fronts in a lot of different ways. But that's okay. To me, it's worth it. What value would you put? What hassle, what headache, what struggle, what issue would you put? How do you put that up against even just that one phone call? because just from that one, all eternity broke loose, rejoicing over that one. And that's not the only one. There's many others. I'm just giving you a one from last week. Isn't that radical? That you're a part of that. That goes to your account into eternity. That's what a blessing. What an exciting truth. What a wonderful thing. Glistening, all the possibilities of everything. But, you know, there's always going to be a battle. There's always going to be difficulty. The front of one faced northward opposite Michmash and the other toward the opposite Gibeah. Then Jonathan, that was just the description of where the rocks faced. Then in verse 6, Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be," and this is where we get the word, some of you guys can see, if you have an original King James, it may say perchance. In our New King James, it says it may be that. But so if you've ever heard me say perchance, I learned this originally in a different Bible version, perchance. But it may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. Mark it. Let that be etched in our hearts and our minds. What is it to God, whether it be by many or by few? God is able. If God be for us, the Bible says, who can be against us? Ah. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. Let's go over there. There's a garrison, a big bunch of these, big group. There's two of us, so let's go. Now, I love the armor bearer. The armor bearer is just, what a guy, man. So his armor bearer said to him, "No way, man, there's too many of them. I don't think it's a good idea. We probably ought not to do that. It doesn't make any sense." What does the armor bearer say in verse 7? "Do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here am I with you according to your heart." This guy brought in and spoke from his heart, and he had a good word. You know, there are many that will say, you know, "This doesn't make any sense. This isn't going to work. This isn't going to..." Okay. But perchance, what if God is with us? What if God's with us? Then with many or with few, what is it to the Lord? If God is with us, what is it? You know, the other thing that's interesting to notice about Jonathan is Jonathan had a familiarity and a good working knowledge of the Scripture. Because that's out of Deuteronomy 32:30. That's where you find that concept of the numerics of God's battle abilities. Isn't that radical? That's crazy stuff. But he had a good working knowledge of the Scriptures there. Understanding how... And you know what he did? He took his understanding of who God was, because he knows God, because he's been hanging out with God, reading God's word. This is the value to us. This is how we get built up, as we know the person in whom which we've trusted our lives to. Okay, we've gotten saved. This is great. That's why we want to get into the word and start studying the Bible together like this, is because now it helps to build up our journey as we realize, oh, so that's what the Lord's about. That's how that might work. That's how that fits together. And now he's not doing this based on just his own willy-nilly concept of doing something. He's doing this based on, hey, with God, this is possible. So perchance, let's say the Lord's with us. Let's see. And he's already experienced some victory, hasn't he, with the Lord? See, God gives you a little victory once in a while on your journey. And that's to continue to bolster you up so that you aren't faint-hearted. God wants us to keep moving forward. What a wonderful, wonderful word. And Jonathan said, "Very well. Let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. And if they say thus to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them." Now, so he's given this thing. He's saying, now let's just see. If God's in this, if God's really into this situation, then let's just see how this plays out. If they say, thus, come up to us, and then we'll go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. God's going to reveal to us his will in this matter. If we get there and they just it goes this way, okay, we'll just sit tight. If it goes this way, in other words, is the door going to open? Is the door going to open over here? Is the door going to close? See, you and I get vested in some of these things in the wrong way. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God, God's faithfulness, and God's ability to do something. So it's got to be that constant reliance. Remember we learned in our last message about Saul not waiting all the way through that seven-day period of time and how significant that is, that 11th hour, 59th, because we can grow weary and like, I can't tell you the number of times I hit the 59th second and I'm about to implode. The natural man in me is imploding. The spiritual man is trying to hang in there. But there's a great battle going on, believe me. But, you know, God can do it. And oftentimes it gets to that point. And then we start realizing, hey, sometimes it goes that way. Sometimes he does it differently than that. Hey, praise the Lord. Either way, we can trust him. He shows up. He shows up. You know, I'm looking at what we're involved in other parts of the world, and then just down the street here, a couple hours down the road. I mean, it's bigger than, I mean, if we looked at it and said, well, gosh, you know, what could we do to help? Maybe bring some toothpicks or something, or, you know, I mean, I don't know, what do you do? It's overwhelming. The whole thing's overwhelming. And I've been talking to the pastor down there, Jeff, who I've known for many, 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 many years, and it's been great. He was with me from probably a couple of years into ministry down there, I'd say. Within the first couple of years, wouldn't you say so? So we led him to the Lord probably about 20 years ago. And he's been the pastor down there for, you know, probably over 10 years. So just over 10 years. So it's been an interesting thing. And there have been times where, you know, I just really need to stay back and he needs to do his thing his way, the way he wants to do it. He's the pastor there now. And, you know, and then as soon as this happens, so I've always given him a lot of space and everything. And, you know, we'd talk and we'd see each other. We'd interact. Everything's good, but it's just wasn't super ideal, I don't think. I think he would agree. But, you know, as soon as this happened, man, I was on the phone. I called him immediately. You know, what can we do? How can we help? You know, these are the resources. These are the things I know that I'm connected with that I think we can get on site and get to work and doing and all so on and so on and so on. You know, and the whole thing was so overwhelming. I mean, it was just so overwhelming. But, you know, that's what God leads us to sometimes is these places, situations and circumstances that are just much larger than our own ability or possibility to deal with on our own. And I think it's just great to see how God can work in that. And even the great things that God's doing in the midst of that kind of thing. It's always about so many more things. You know, running around down there the other day, Monday when we were down there running around, just gathering up food, someone had dropped off a semi-trailer with a refrigerator unit on it, freezer unit on it. And so we're running around knowing that the other big trailer's coming that's a kitchen. And so we know, okay, I mean, we got to get food. We got to get food, you know. And so we're running around, and we meet this person. This person says, go to this person. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're over at the police station at this semi, backing up a truck. Man, we're just throwing frozen chicken breasts out of this thing like crazy, you know, just all froze up, boxed up, and ready to go. Tyson had staggered all around frozen, you know, trucks with freezers on them all over town, staggered them around town. And the guy that was in charge of it, we met him. He said, man, just take anything you need, everything. Take whatever you want. We almost filled up the back of that semi with this stuff. A 40-foot trailer, you know, just about filled it all up. That's just God. Didn't cost not a cent. Just running around and throwing stuff around with it, you know. That's what it cost us, you know. That's just radical. Another guy called the other day and said, hey, I'm coming down once a week. Our company decided to make a trip through, and we're going to bring, we were talking about, man, we got all kinds of hot dogs. We got no buns. You know, it's kind of a weird deal, you know. Guess you beans and franks. I don't know. You know, we just didn't have any buns, you know. So we think, man, what are we going to do? You know, got hot dog buns, hamburger buns, bread, everything. We're going to come down through once a week. You want to take delivery on? It's free. Okay, great. Right on time. Now, you can't plan all this stuff. Do you see what I mean? We're so planning-oriented, and I get it. I like to function that way. It just, my world doesn't, you know? And these things don't. And this is what I've been, you know, trying to walk through some of these steps, because it never does. Never, anywhere we've been ever on things like this, you try and make a plan, but it just, you got to be flexible because it may change. And these are great opportunities to watch God at work. You get too rigid, you start wearing concrete shoes, you're not going to see cement boots, whatever you want to call them. You start walking around. I'm not looking at you because I'm looking at you, she's Italian. I'm not looking at you because of that. but you start wearing things that you can't move around well in. It's going to be hard to do what needs to be done. And so you want to be flexible, open, and let God have his way. Well, I like this. They really didn't move forward presumptuously, just expecting that it had to go their way. Hey, we're going to go up, and we're going to take this garrison, and we're going to, you know, and they didn't go up presumptuously like that, you see. They went up with an expectation that God could work and that God would work, but they were willing to say, hey, as the Lord opens the doors, we're going to run through them. But we're not going to force issue. If God closes the door, we'll look for another door. I mean, that's the key to all these things, these ventures of faith. You know, if God closes that door, what door might he open? Could I have thought up or dreamed up that someone would say, hey, by the way, as a matter of fact, you don't even really need to establish a full power thing, station. You can just do it this way, and we have the ability to do that, and we want to trade you that plus some money so that then you can pay down some of what you owe, and then you can have something that'll broadcast, and you can eat. I mean, I couldn't dream any of this stuff up. It's just getting, what I like is Jonathan was willing to go up. You see, availability and moving forward in it. He was close enough to see, he got up in it, close enough to see what might happen. Sometimes we lay back so far that we're not going to see God move, really, because we're too far at a distance. You remember when they were moving the ark and they were to stay a certain distance back from the ark, just away from the ark. But it was enough that they could see it and they could follow it when they had crossed over the Jordan into the promised land. The ark was there moving and it was out ahead of them, eyeshot where they could see it. Where they could see where they were going to follow it, but not too close, not getting out in front of it. And I see that with this, you know, Jonathan and his armor bearer got up to where they could see possibly what God might do. I think that's the key for us. A lot of times we want to lay back and we think, well, God can get a hold of me or God can, you know, all that. Okay, I get it. But man, it is so great to get out and watch God doing things like this. And to see God move in ways that we would never see. I mean, it's actually quite thrilling. It's faith in action. It's alive. It's great. So both of them showed themselves in verse 11 to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden themselves. Basically calling them rodents, really. Just saying they've burrowed into the ground like, you know, little rodents, and now they're popped their heads up, and you know. And then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we'll show you something. Whoop, that was all he needed. He was listening for that word, looking for that door, watching for that confirmation of what it would take to move forward. And notice what he says now. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, because the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. It says, man, God is with us. Let's do it. I love his armor bearer. His armor bearer wasn't all negative, explaining to him how it wasn't going to work and how this can't happen and that isn't going to work out that way and that doesn't make any sense and it doesn't pencil out and this and that. Okay, obviously, no. But what I like about it was he was basing this not on his own thoughts, but on the Word of God. Jonathan's thoughts were based on the Word of God, on the possibilities from the Word of God. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, the army there. They just fell before him. And as his armor bearer came after him, his armor bearer just killed him. Just slice their heads right off. That first slaughter with Jonathan and his armor-bearer maid was about 20 men with about half an acre of land. Within about a half acre of land, he just started shoom, 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 just wiping these guys out, and just with two of them. This story goes on, and we'll catch it in our next study. Read through the rest of the story, verse 15 through the end of the chapter. We'll try and move through it that far in our next study, and we can do that quite simply. That shouldn't be a problem for us next time we get together.